Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on December 3rd of 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
All right, we're here. We missed last week due to some circumstances, unfortunately. It was one, you know, you'd think the Thanksgiving holiday would be, oh, it's easier to get everything done with. We'll have plenty of time, but then it worked out the opposite way. So, the good news, though, is that there wasn't anything new that aired on Toonami, so basically we just watched the stuff, so we're just covering the stuff that we were going to cover last time, plus the extra episode of Yashahime that came about in the meantime. Okay, a few quick things I wanted to mention, though. Remember how we were all puzzled about where those last four episodes of Isekai Quartet on Funimation's site went? I think I figured it out. This is it. So they had all 12 because they had the sub and the dub, except it seems that they only dubbed the first 8 episodes, then COVID happened and I guess it got put on the back burner, and then for whatever reason they just took the subs off their site, so it's just a dub, but then they only have the first 8 episodes, so that's why they disappeared. Okay. So, yeah. Oh, I did, on Tales of the Abyss, I was able to actually talk to my brother a little about it because he played the game, except when I'm asking him questions, that, well, I'm having trouble remembering. It was years ago I played it. But I was telling him what we were wondering about with, Tyr and stuff, that woman turning into, her. And he was saying, oh, I think maybe it was supposed to be that she was channeling Lorelei or something like that. I'm like, okay, seems a little esoteric, but whatever, it's an anime theme song. They have all sorts of stuff shown that never happens. Like, remembering, I can't remember which, I think the second or third Bleach theme song. It shows that, like, thing where they're fighting against, like, the guys at the Soul Society, and Orihime, like, puts up this barrier, and you know, oh, that didn't happen, Orihime did something useful.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I'm sorry, I've got all these things that I just wanted to mention. This, I guess, kind of relates. So, they released the, sales for the manga this, year in Japan. So, so Demon Slayer topped the list, which isn't that amazing, because it did it last year also. What did surprise it is that it sold 80 million copies, volume copies, and the second place series, the scene called Kingdom, sold 8 million. So Demon Slayer sold 10 times as much as the second place manga series. From what I saw of the anime, I'm not sure I understand the appeal, but whatever, good on them, I guess. Okay, now to, shall we talk about, actual more anime stuff?
Yeah.
The stuff we're supposed to talk about. All right, so we got Sword Art Online episode 88. All right, so in this episode, now here's a fun thing, because we watched this stuff 2 weeks ago, now it's a fun job of trying to remember what actually happened. So they basically, man, they're still going and fighting the stuff, and then... And then in, so this, because they need, because they're doing such a great job getting rid of all the human players that are, think this is all just a game, the bad guys spread the word to tell people, hey, look, all those nasty Japanese people are taking out all the, have hacked this play, this game that's being play tested, and they're killing all of the test players, so you should come in and try to help defeat them. And people apparently take this seriously? Like, here's what would happen in the real world. Everyone would run over to Reddit and talk about how stupid the company was for letting all that happen. And there probably would have been... And there would be at least some people saying, well, it's their fault for just appealing to the SJWs.
And I noticed that they keep using those words, the real world. And like what a put down that must be if you're a NPC. Like, oh, so my world isn't the real world. Okay. I mean, I would get offended if someone told me, oh, I come from the real world. like I'd be like, okay, then let's have at it. I mean, that just doesn't really make sense that they're saying that these characters are just taking that, like, oh, you're from the real world. Okay, I get it. Like, no, you shouldn't get it, because if you're not from the real world, then you shouldn't understand even what the real world is. So that bugs me.
Yeah, that's just so weird there. The other thing is that in a major, amazing twist, I can't remember his name, but what's his name? He was at least kind of important, because he was going to this place to fix something or other, and another guy came with him. But then the other guy turns out, ha, I'm like a traitor or something, and I'm threatening you. And he's like, oh, well, wow. It's almost like this was kind of choreographed by the fact that someone that we didn't know anything about was coming with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I guess it was too much to hope for that this was that you were being sent to help me because it was your chance to get, like, you know, some character growth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Another weird thing I was noticing, so they were getting Chinese and Korean players to come in. So I'm just thinking, okay, so I know esports are big in those countries and stuff, but where's Europe in all of this? Like, shouldn't they, like, there's a lot of esports players, gamers there, shouldn't they try to be grabbing them? I don't know, this setup just doesn't make much sense. Well, even one of the persons, like, says, yeah, this doesn't seem to make much sense, but I have nothing better to do.
Yeah, you could make the argument that the entire Alicization arc hasn't made any sense. So I'm desensitized to things not making sense anymore.
I know, but I still feel like I need to mention them. I'm still just surprised they didn't actually show people making fun of it, because that's what would happen. People would totally be like, you know, going to whatever social media platform they're using to, like, say, like, how to, like, just talk about how stupid it is that they all got hacked and they actually need to get other people to come in to help them. Yeah, Shinon sees some guy who I think is important somehow to her backstory, but I can't remember. It's been so long. Let's see. Also, of all the people, when all the people who are, like, entering it, you know, the new players who, again, are being told it's a game and stuff, you of course can tell that they're going to be sort of important, because when they're wearing the same generic, you know, like, armor everyone else is, they're the sort of grills or whatever it's called on their helmets are much more see-through, so you can see them, whereas everyone else's are just, like, you know, completely block out view. And, I mean, if I was one of those players, I'd be thinking, why do those guys get the one that actually lets you see their face? I want one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I mean, it's Sword Art Online. I, for all my, complaining, it's, like I said, this is the Sword Art Online that you kind of just like. The one where it's not good, but it always, but it's just, like, fun in how, like, dumb some parts of it are.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's Sword Art Online.
It's Sword Art Online.
I just had to say that.
Okay. So we've got Fire Force episode 27. So we have a stunning crossover as we're introduced to the long-lost twin sister of Kuniko from Shangri-La.
Oh.
Did that occur to you also? She looks so much like her.
No, I never crossed my mind.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah. I didn't think I was like, I never really came across to me that way.
Oh.
I just mustn't have been thinking about Shangri-La at the time.
I don't know. It's just she's got pink hair. She's a girl about the same age. I don't know. I was just like, wow, that looks like. I mean, I guess it's mostly the hair, but still. So I don't know. She has the power to tell when fires are coming, and maybe also start them. It was kind of ambiguous on that latter point, but she uses it to basically go to places where there's fire and then charge and then rescue people but charge them money. So this is apparently really important. Mm-hmm. So both the good guys and the bad guys are trying to get her, and we end up with them clashing and stuff. About it, along with a bunch of the other monster stuff going on. So, yeah, that was basically our episode.
Yep. Yeah, not much really to say for me.
I
was more interested.
Sorry, keep going.
No, I didn't have anything good to offer. So.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, honestly, I kind of really like this episode. I mean, there's some stuff I don't really get because I wasn't watching the first season. But I'm like, okay, these are the good guys. These are the bad guys. Hey, there's this new character they're introducing. She's kind of interesting. Is she going to actually join with the bad guys, join with the good guys, just decide to sort of be a neutral, like, third party between them or something? I don't know. For, like, the first time in quite a while in Fire Force, I was actually interested. I'm actually interested in seeing, oh, so what's going to happen with this? So I thought this was actually a pretty decent episode.
Yeah, I just was going to say that I managed to catch Dragon Ball Super also, and it I don't know how to say this nicely, but it is so stupid that it's actually kind of entertaining because of how stupid it is. And I'm really glad we dropped Dragon Ball Super. But I guess I'm kind of watching it just to see how bad it is. This is pretty bad.
Which episode were we on? Let me see. Okay, I'm just checking which episode it was. Okay, so it was episode 93. But what episode was that? Okay. Oh, that's the one where Goku was like trying let's see, he wanted to resurrect Frieza so he could be used in the POW in the tournament, and then there were those other guys who were training and stuff. Okay, I'm looking at it. I don't remember that episode being particularly stupid, but that was a while ago. It was like most of the stuff a bit before that. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. You go ahead.
It was just pretty stupid with Frieza. Bringing back Frieza for this, I can't even remember exactly what was stupid about it, but it was really dumb.
I mean, it's at least stuff was happening. Like the previous 10 or 20 episodes, it's basically just them randomly recruiting people and wasting a bunch of time. Like the lead up to the tournament was pretty boring, honestly. But, so yeah, Okay, so we got Fire Force. Now, one thing I didn't want to mention especially was that I thought it was funny when Arthur was saying, you can't, he like saying, I don't think you're the real Shinra. The real Shinra is not disagreeable. So that was good. All right. After that, we move on to Assassination Classroom episode 12. So we have a new theme song. So this episode was basically the Class E going up against another class in a baseball game. And they managed to win thanks to Koro-sensei's coaching and such. So I'll be honest, I don't really know much at all about baseball. I have no idea how accurately it was depicted here.
Very poorly, very inaccurate. So if you care, it was very inaccurate. It was not a good depiction of baseball at all. It just, so yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, it was more like, the strategy stuff with all the stuff you're talking about, bunting and how they were using it to beat the guy. And I was just like, I have no idea if this is realistic or not.
Yeah, it none of that would ever work. So, and times they were blatantly breaking the rules. The good guys, that is, they were blatantly breaking the rules. So, whenever I watch sports anime, I always look to see if they're following the rules. And, you know, if it's teaching people about the sport or if it's just using it as a plot device. And that's clearly what they were doing here.
Out of curiosity, then, what anime would you say had the most accurate, and what anime do you think had the least accurate representation of their sports that you've seen?
I would say either Ice Shield 21 or Yuri on Ice is the best when it comes to it. The worst, I know there's one, but can't think of it at the moment, so I would have to get back to you and look through my. I'm not saying that Ice Shield and Yuri are the best anime, but they are the best when it comes to depicting their sport, I think.
Especially if you don't count the filler in Ice Shield 21.
Well, even the filler I thought was pretty accurate to football.
Okay.
So, I know there was one that I had a lot of problems with, but I cannot remember it right now. So, I'll tell you that some other time.
Okay. I was just like, I was just curious about that. So yeah, other than that, there wasn't really too much to really say about, the episode. Let's see. Okay, so that's it for the Toonami stuff. Okay, I actually managed to remember things fairly decently, considering it was all 2 weeks ago. All right, so then we've got Ghost in the Shell episode 36. So a guy tries to... let's see, so a guy's attacking a woman, and Togusha, it happens to be there, and he helps her and stops the guy, but he still manages to kill her. So anyway, that he ends up being, like, put on, like, the bad guy ends up being put on trial about it, and the lawyer ends up, you know, getting Togusa as a witness, and he's trying to, you know, make it seem like Togusa was being unnecessarily harsh in dealing with it or whatever. I don't know. It's mostly just kind of a courtroom thing. It wasn't really that, I mean, by the standards of court stuff, I guess it was, yeah. But then it, anyway, they managed to get through all of that, and then apparently the guy and his lawyer get injured in something that was maybe caused by Section 9. It was kind of unclear on that. I don't know. Yeah. It was just kind of an okay episode.
Yeah, I actually appreciated all the time that Togusa got, because I've never really known much about Togusa, so I like the fact that he got pretty much his own episode, and we got to see him. It was a kind of weird way for him to escape there, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. I didn't think about it. Togusa, well, I mean, actually, he did get a focus episode a few earlier this season, where he was like investigating that abandoned thing. But this was one that did focus more on him as a character, whereas that other one, I mean, plot-wise, you could have had any of the characters be involved in it. This was one that was more specifically about him. So yeah, that's good. That's something I didn't really appreciate. I just wish it had been, in my view, otherwise a more interesting episode.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's see. All right, so then we move on to Yashahime. We've got two episodes to cover, episodes 8 and 9. Oh no, I just realized the second episode. I only saw the first half because I stopped it and meant to and thought I'll come back and finish it today, and then I didn't. Oh, wow. Okay, well, we can talk about the 8th episode. Well, honestly, both of these are really just them going up against an enemy and having some trouble beating them, and then, managing to, beat them.
Yeah. This is the point of the show that I'm kind of, getting a little antsy. Like, when are we going to have some real direction, you know? This has been how many episodes? 9 episodes, and we still don't know what the fate of all the old characters is. And then the thing about it is that they know that's what everybody wants to know, you know. It's not like, okay, we're just trying to, you know, I'm not saying it right. I'm sorry. It's not like you don't have all these famous characters and a big fan base that really wants to know what happened to them, you know. So basically, I don't know. They are playing with the fans' feelings right now, and it's not very fun.
Yeah, they gave a small bit of a thing here. There was a brief bit of a flashback where I think you saw something about Kagome and Inuyasha and someone who looked like they were Moroku in one of them. But yeah, we didn't really get much of an information about what was going on there. I'm kind of wondering, because this is going to be 20-something episodes total. And when I look at episodes like this, now again, to my shame, I only watched the first half of the second of these episodes. So maybe something, but by what you're saying, I'm assuming there wasn't some major reveal in the second half of it. It seems to me like with a bunch of these episodes, it seems like this really could have seems like it could be cut down to maybe 13 episodes and be a shorter thing, so you would have stuff, you know, progress faster than it's been going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, maybe it's like the next 16. Maybe it's one of those things where, well, we needed more than 13, but we didn't need 26. So we're kind of have to add some of this sort of filler-ish stuff in to it. But other than I feel like we really need more of this stuff, and we need it more soon. It just is dragging stuff out.
Yeah, we just need to know where Inuyasha and Kagome and Susomaru and all those people are. Like, if this is going to become like a big long series, you know, where they're gonna have future seasons and turn it into Boruto, well, if they're gonna do that, then we at least need to have some idea of where these people are. We can't just continue on saying, oh, well, they defeated the enemy and they got a bounty and that's it. You know, there has to be something more than that. So I think people are getting kind of impatient, and we'll see what.
You don't have to think that people are getting impatient. There's someone right here who's getting impatient.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got that. Then we've got Attack on Titan episode 59, the end of the third season. So basically we... all of the characters, well, they've learned all that stuff we've discovered. They managed to get rid of the rest of the Titans. Yes, the main conflict of the series just got off-screened. Which I don't actually mind, honestly. They do still. I mean, at this point, you can't really get much drama out of the Titans anyway. So I can totally buy. Yeah, they managed to just get rid of all of them, especially with all like the knowledge and skills they developed and stuff. So then they managed to, with all the Titans gone, they just ride out and they managed to get to the find the ocean. We get a callback to that bit where Armin's, I think this was the first episode, it was definitely early on, mentioned this thing about how he had heard of the possibility of this giant, body of water called the ocean. So they managed to make it there, and it's all, seems all cool, except for the fact that Eren, who is now sporting a new haircut that I don't like, mentions that they're still going to have to deal with the enemies that they now know they have about, and that is where the season ends.
For this episode, I thought it was a pretty good episode. I don't have any problem with this episode, but if we want to talk about the season as a whole, I have a problem because this was supposed to be like the signing moment of Attack on Titan. And I will admit, it was probably the best Attack on Titan has had to offer. That being said, it never really blew me away. I was expecting something like, whenever I was reading spoilers, I thought it was something where like there were going to be twists in like every episode, and that, you know, there was going to be some major action going on, but like the action really lasted only about two or three episodes, and then the rest of it was just either flashbacks or Armin or people angsting, and it just never had that amazing moment that I was expecting that it was going to have. And I'm disappointed that it never reached that next level. Hopefully the final season is able to at least bring the story to a conclusion and be pretty entertaining along the way, but it's not as good as everyone says it is. I don't care anymore. There's no way anyone can convince me this is like a top 10 anime or anything. It's, it may not be as bad as I used to make it out to be, but it's just not all that great.
Okay, so in regards to the next season, well, having read the manga that it's going to be adapting, my hopes are not high, considering I didn't particularly care for a lot of what happens next. But then again, I see some other people and they like it, and there's some stuff in it that I didn't like, but I could potentially see you liking. I don't know. I can't say whether the conclusion will be good either, because the manga hasn't reached it yet.
Is it going to be like a Game of Thrones type of thing?
It's hard to tell because so the anime will start the last season. It depends on a few things. If they split it up, because the thing is, I'm looking at the manga, and it's hard to tell how much longer the manga will go on. For example, there was this there's a series I've been reading. It's called Chainsaw Man. I think I mentioned it briefly before, and it was just suddenly announced there's only 2 chapters left, and I was like, what? How are you finishing this in only 2 chapters? Oh, by the way, I'd like to mention Chainsaw Man. It ran about 2 years in the time it took for this for the series to start and to finish on a weekly basis. I just like to mention there has not been a single Hunter x Hunter chapter.
I hate this.
But we'll see how that goes. It's just the point I was saying wasn't even that it was impossible it could end in 2 chapters. I mean, yeah, that other series, I think it could. It just would seem rushed, but that's the point. I was not expecting at all it to end that quickly. So if Attack on Titan, it could end in just 1 or 2 chapters. It could take a good deal longer than that. A lot depends on the pacing and what the author decides to do. But if we talk worst case scenario, the anime comes and it doesn't have any breaks or whatever, the anime would be finishing up around, I think, April or May. So that still gives the manga, which is a monthly series, maybe like, you know, 5 or 6 more chapters to go before then. And I assume, you know, the author would be telling them what's going on. So we'll see. I mean, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, it finished like, I think, a month after the manga concluded. So it could be something like that. But anyway, as to what we've seen in the second half of season 3, well, I think this is definitely the best part of Attack on Titan. I've mentioned that before, that I just wish the rest of the series could be as good as this was. When I first saw it, I thought it was really spectacular, this one. I mentioned when we did our best and worst sort of ranking for last year that if it was eligible, because only I had seen it at that point, I would have put Attack on Titan in first place. having, now that I've rewatched it, my opinion of it, this portion of it is still high, but it isn't quite as high. I think a lot of the action was good. I think the whole battle was very, very well done, but some of the but like the flashback stuff, some of that was maybe clumsily handled a bit, some parts of that. So I still really liked it. It's just, I just not quite as much. And I think if nothing else, this at least provides one of the better points to maybe stop watching, because I mean, the main plots have been concluded. Sure, there's like some lingering stuff like, okay, how are we going to deal with the rest of the world? But that's why I kept like trying to get you to watch it. Like, come on, you've seen the rest of the stuff. At least watch the best part of the series and get a sort of conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you've seen it, maybe we'll be watching season 4 when it inevitably comes on Toonami sometime. So we'll deal with that then. So yeah, I'll just repeat myself briefly. Best part of Attack on Titan, very good. It makes me more disappointed that the rest of the series isn't as good as I thought this was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that ends all the anime portion of this episode of Toonami Therapy. I guess we can just go with our top three series for these. So for me,
okay. Oh, you want to go first? That's fine.
Okay, sure. So for third place, I would put Assassination Classroom because, well, I'll be honest. You tell me it's unrealistic. Well, unfortunately, I still enjoyed it, and that's still a bit of an abstract. Maybe if I was more familiar with baseball, I'd be more annoyed by it. Then in second place, I would put Fire Force. This episode actually did get me a lot more interested in the series. And then for first, I will say Attack on Titan.
Okay, well, put Attack on Titan in third place. Second place will be Yasuhime. And first place, or maybe, I don't know if it's first time ever. I wish I kept track of these things. But Ghost in the Cell. Yes, Ghost in the Cell was the most entertaining thing of the week. Maybe that's because it's the last thing I saw, but that's usually not how it works, because usually the last thing I saw is like usually my least favorite thing because I'm like tired out from watching everything else. So, yeah, Ghost in the Cell. I enjoyed that episode. I liked that Togusa finally found out about him. Like, it was only a few episodes found out what his name was, so so obviously it was good to learn more about him.
Okay, so this has been for those of you who only are here for the anime stuff, this has been Toonami Therapy. You can find our past episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. And all right, let's move on to it. So first, we've got three episodes of The Amazing Race, although, because two of those episodes were just one mega leg, that one almost counts as just one episode.
Yeah.
Okay. And unfortunately, it's especially hard for me to remember some of the stuff in the first of these, because when they were doing the two-hour episode, I always only able to sort of pay attention to it for the first half of that, so I kind of missed some of that things, but I did get the other one. And so because of my bad memory, I'm probably mostly going to have stuff to say about the one that aired yesterday than the one that aired a week ago. So let's see, this was episodes 9 through 11, I think. So I guess we can talk the first sort of group of the two first. So like I said, I can't remember that much, but I remember that the Alliance group, all of them yielded, like, what the sisters, the blondes, as people usually call them, and they got eliminated after being almost eliminated twice.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really have too much else to say about that episode, although there is something that I've just been wondering about. So they always have like the clues in that sort of like little compartment thing that's, you know, someplace. And I just was always wondering, how do they make sure that no one like takes them? Is there a key or something that do they lock them? And I just never noticed that.
I think you got a cameraman watching at all time, and that's what they use to make sure no one else gets it.
Okay, that could be the case. Although they have a bunch of those clues around the place, so I don't know if they have one person for each or what. But okay. All right, so then we'll move on to, we'll skip past that, move on to the more recent episode, which I did have a bit more to talk about. Let's see. This episode was, there was a U-turn, which I'm usually not that big of a fan of. I don't know, it's just a matter of, hey, I'm being ahead, so now I get to give myself even more of an advantage, even though it kind of already is one, by making it tougher for a team behind me. I don't know. I was just never a big fan of it.
I don't think it's a particularly good twist, because all you're basically doing is saying, okay, such and such team is going to lose. That's all you're basically doing. And unless there's two, like, not in this case, usually there would be two teams that would get put in such a situation, and then it's just between those two to see who gets eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the twist is a terribly good one, but I'm so used to Survivor having like a million twists these days that this doesn't even bother me that much.
Huh. Yeah. What I feel, especially, it was interesting though, because I a comment I saw someone post online, and it's great, because the NFL players, you turned the, what was their name? It was the brother and the sister, right? That was that team. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like all angry and are saying that, like, why that was a bad mood. And I just like how what someone said, it was just like, I love how it's always the dumbest decision ever to U-turn a specific team according to the team that's been U-turned.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's funny, because the NFL guy says, what do you mean it was a bad decision? It's because of that I'm not in last place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the big thing, of course, is, of course, everyone is just, you know, struggling to figure out how to do the thing, because most of them didn't take the time to just watch the guy who's doing it to make sure they figured it all out and to make sure they were doing it right. So I think one of the guy, they said they were there for hours.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel bad for is the cameraman, because they have to stay there and be sure they're filming the whole time. At least the other team member who's, like, you know, bored, he can like lie down and take a nap or whatever. The camera guys, they just got to stay there and keep watching, recording, and they can't ever, you know, like say, hey, come on, this is how you're supposed to do it, to save themselves some trouble.
And how about the guy who was showing them how to do it? He had to stay there all that time too.
The the way I thought what was going on there was that he was just there and doing it because this is what he does. This is like his job anyway. So he would have been, regardless of the race or not, been doing all of that. That's why when the people went to watch it, some of them didn't spot what he did at the very beginning because they didn't watch the whole thing. So I think that was just something he was doing independent of the race, and what they were supposed to do is go and watch him and learn how to do it and then do it themselves.
What you just said there contradicts itself. So you say that they're supposed to watch him, but he's independent of the race?
No.
That doesn't make sense.
I mean, when I say independent, I mean it would be like my job is to be a lawnmower or something, and then on some thing on the Amazing Race, like their challenge is, okay, they got to watch how I lawnmow and then lawnmow themselves. And which means that if the people who make the Amazing Race never said, hey, we're going to have a challenge in the Amazing Race with you, and they're going to watch you and try to do it and stuff, which whether they had done that or not, I still would have been doing my job of lawn mowing. It's just,
no, he's definitely paid to be there because,
I feel like I'm explaining this badly because I know that what I'm saying is he's paid to be there and stuff, but I was under the impression that this was his actual job. This is what he normally would be doing at around this time. And the Amazing Race just set it up so that the team would go over and, you know, do the thing while he was doing it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Kind of like, for example, like the dentist one where they were trying to cast the dentures and stuff. The dentist guy there would have still been, you know, doing all the dentist stuff. It's just because of the Amazing Race, they had the other teams, you know, show up and actually try to, you know, help out with some of those things for the task. And I was just like kind of thinking, when it comes to making the impressions for like the teeth and stuff, Is that really just something anyone can do? I would have thought that would require a little more, you know, extra training. But maybe it is something anyone can do. It's just they didn't have to do any of the more complicated stuff. I just feel bad for the people who were waiting at the dental office and you know, they had to have the team try multiple times to do it. And they're just thinking, oh, these Americans, why can't they just have the normal people do this?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to say?
Nope, not really.
Okay. All right, so I guess we can talk about Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yep,
we've got episode 3, The Naked Now, which is so basically in this the plot of this, which is taken from an episode from the original series, is that there's some sort of disease. Well, they say it's not a disease, or they say it's not a virus, except it transmits like a virus, so I don't know what the distinction is. Then it starts making everyone act crazy, and as a result, the ship is in danger, and they have to get a cure so that, you know, they can get stuff back to normal before a catastrophe strikes, and they manage to do that, and then everything's solved, and they manage to take off, and that's a basic plot of this episode.
I thought it was pretty funny that we watched this episode given what is going on in the world today.
Yeah, it's what I wish I had done was after watching this, I was thinking, oh, you know, I should go back and watch that original series episode, and so I could compare them. It's what's weird is the title, like The Naked Time and The Naked Now, but I don't think there's any nakedness in either episode. Well, I mean, I guess there's like some partial nudity, like the original episode had Sulu kind of going around the ship shirtless and brandishing a sword, and this one had that very uncomfortable scene where Tasha Yar tries to seduce Data.
Yeah, really uncomfortable.
I could have gone my life without Data ever saying that he has multiple, that he knows multiple pleasure techniques.
You know, I felt like this episode was like for the sole purpose of establishing romantic interests between the characters. I feel like that was the entire goal of this episode. And that was just pretty much the only reason this episode was included in the series. So I guess it did a pretty good job at that, but it was a little bizarre, that's for sure.
Yeah. So first, a few notes. They switched last episode where Troy was wearing that sort of uniform dress thing. This time she's not wearing a uniform, but she's wearing like a more regular outfit. It's just kind of weird. Everyone else is wearing a uniform, and then as it continues for maybe 4 or 5 seasons, she's just perpetually not wearing one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mentioned last episode how it seemed like they really tried to make Tasha's uniform very form-fitting. This time it was not so, I mean, it wasn't any more, like, worse than any other woman on the show. So that's probably the last I'll be mentioning on that sort of thing. But so on the whole, I really got to say, like I said, I want to look back at the original episode to compare it to see if it's better. But this episode, I didn't really care much for. I mean, the conflict, like, you know what's going to happen. They're going to find the cure, people will get back to normal, and they'll get away. You know, that's how it just is going to go. So there's not really much suspense. You have just everyone acting really weird. You have, again, that bit with Data and Yar, which was like, why did you put that there? Why? There's a part where she mentioned something about her backstory there, and that was actually slightly interesting, but that still occurs in the context of something that, like, I was just like, you could have just cut this out. Then another problem I've got, of course, is, so either the chief engineer of the Enterprise at this time is completely incompetent, or Wesley is the most brilliant person ever, or maybe both, because to get out of the situation, they have to do something. It's just that'll take weeks. And Wesley's like, no, you just need to look at it this way, and manages to do it in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I should mention, this is Wesley when he's affected by it. So he's essentially inebriated. This is him when his judgment is impaired.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I don't know. Just the extreme. Because people, like, always complain about, you know, Wesley being a Mary Sue. And I'm just like, it was very much on display in this episode, because the extent to which he, like, again, while his judgment is impaired and he's supposed to be, you know, not as smart, is like coming up with all the necessary solutions that no one else can. He manages to do this thing that no one else was, like, able to figure out. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe unless the virus made him smarter. So it had the opposite effect on him that it did on everyone else.
That's actually something. That's actually something I was wondering about. It would have been actually a little funny if it said that maybe because he was young or something, it ended up having a different effect, so that while he still was, it made him kind of crazy and trying to take over the ship, it also made it so that he was able to figure things out really well. If they had explained that, I would have been like, oh yeah, that explains it. That's reasonable. But as it is, it's just a weird matter that this kid is like way smarter than the actual chief engineer. No wonder they had to put Geordi in charge of it. They needed someone who knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen until season 2, though. Okay. I will also give credit for one, despite not really liking it for the most part, there was one part I like where Data is reporting on a limerick that like one of the persons affected by the virus wrote. And you're saying there was a young woman named Venus whose body was shaped like a, and then Picard gets all annoyed and he like calling and says, "Will someone get this fixed?" And Data's just confused and Worf just says, "I don't understand their humor either."
Yeah, I do remember that now. That was yeah, this episode definitely not really it doesn't really fit in with the rest of the series, at least the later series.
Oh, and that reminds me, there was one other thing I wanted to mention. So this in the previous episode, and this is more of a minor thing, but so a big part of the series, of course, and like is the character development for Data, whereas in these episodes, he's, you know, much more awkward, not understanding things like sarcasm and whatever, and he gets to understand it better over the course of the series. And that's good, but the problem is you need to remember that he went through Starfleet Academy prior to this. So he should have spent years among humans and learned all this stuff. So I just think it would have made more sense looking back if his backstory had been like he didn't necessarily go through it. It's just like they figured he knew so much and stuff that he kind of went through it all very quickly and then was put on a starship. And that would explain why, that would better explain his awkwardness in these sorts of situations rather than by all rights, the fact he should at this point be the Data like of season 7. Because he has been around humans long enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my main comments on this episode. Did you have anything that you wanted to say?
Nope, that's about it.
All right, so I guess we can give our ratings out of 10. Well,
yep.
The joke, my joke rating would be no shirtless Sulu scene, 0 out of 10. But the actual rating I'll give for this is 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 5 out of 10. So So are you keeping track of our ratings?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, 5 out of 10 for this episode.
Yeah. It was, I just kind of looked at it in comparison to the first episode and I was like, well, okay, so this is kind of like if you had Encounter at Farpoint without Q and then putting the very weird scene with Tasha Yar and Data, like that bit actually that knocked this down a point. I disliked it that much. So, unfortunately, we're continuing with the first season, as everyone has always complained about not being very good at the start. But I know there are still some, episodes that people think are actually good in season one, like not even just by the standards of season one, but legitimately by themselves good. So, we'll see. I mean, we knew going into it that the series had a rocky start.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, one last quick comment. I happened to see in the credits that it mentioned that the special effects were done by Industrial Lights and Magic. You know, like, that, you know, which is part of Lucasfilm. So I'm like, hey, wow, we already have a Star Wars, Star Trek crossover. Okay, well, I guess that's it. We'll see you next week for Toonami. We'll be back. We'll have those. We'll have the anime to discuss. And we'll have more of The Amazing Race and The Next Generation to mention. So we'll see you then.
Bye-nee.